Chapter 10. An Important Meeting. When I came downstairs the next morning, Sir Walter was reading a telegram.
"I made some phone calls last night," he said. "I spoke to the First Lord of the Navy and the Secretary for War. They're bringing the French General Royer to Britain for the meeting a day sooner. This telegram is to tell me that he will be in London at 5 o'clock. However, if the Black Stone were clever enough to find out about the first meeting, they'll probably find out about the change of plan. I would love to know how they found out about the meeting. There were only 5 men in England who knew about Royer's visit, and there were fewer in France."
"Can't the positions of the naval defences be changed?" I asked.
"It would be much better for us if we didn't have to change these positions. We planned them carefully, and different positions would not be as good. And if our enemies succeed in stealing our plans, they won't want us to know that they have them, because then we would have time to change the plans and be prepared for their attack," Sir Walter explained. "The Black Stone want to steal the plans, but they don't want us to know that they have done so. Then Royer will go back to Paris thinking that the whole thing is still a secret. Once they know that we suspect that they have our plans, their information will be useless."
"Then we will have to guard Royer until he is back in France," I said.
"Royer will come to my house in London this evening," said Sir Walter. "4 of us will meet with him. Whittaker from the Navy, because the First Lord is ill, myself, Sir Arthur Drew, and General Winstanley, both from the War Department. At my house, Royer will get a document from Whittaker, and then Royer will be taken from my house to a ship that will take him back to France. That is the best we can do." "You will take the place of my driver today," Sir Walter continued. "His uniform will fit you, and that will let us get you back to London secretly. You are already involved in this business, and you are in danger." I drove Sir Walter back to his house in London. We arrived there at 11:30 a.m., and he collected some documents he needed. He then took me to Scotland Yard, the headquarters of the London police.
"I've brought you the Portland Place murderer," Sir Walter told the chief of police, McGillivray.
"So, this is Mr. Hannay," said the chief of police. "For several days my department was very interested in him."
"Yes, and he has a lot of interesting things to tell you, but not today," said Sir Walter. "For important reasons you will have to wait a day to hear his story."
"You can return to your normal life, Mr. Hannay," said McGillivray. "Sir Walter has told us about Scudder's letter, and we have known for some time that you are not a murderer. Your servant has been taking care of your flat while you were away, and I will inform him that you have returned."
"We may need more help from you very soon, McGillivray," said Sir Walter as we left.
When we were outside, he said to me,
"Come and see me tomorrow, Hannay, and stay out of sight. If one of your Blackstone friends sees you, there will be trouble."
I left Sir Walter, but I didn't feel like going back to my flat. It was good to be free again. I went to a good restaurant and had an excellent lunch, but I was nervous and still worried about the next day, June the 15th. After lunch, I took a taxi to North London and walked around there for 2 hours, but all the time I was getting more and more nervous. In the evening, I had dinner in a small restaurant. But after dinner, I still did not want to go back to my flat. I left the restaurant and was thinking of spending the night in a hotel when I passed a theatre. Suddenly, a man in formal clothes pointed at me and shouted,
"Stop that man! He's the Portland Place murderer, and he stole my car!"
It was that idiot, Jopley. A policeman tried to grab me, but I knocked him to the ground and began to run through the streets of London to Sir Walter's house. I could hear the policeman following me, but I ran faster. When I got to Sir Walter's house, there were several cars parked in front of it. I ran to the door and rang the bell. A butler opened the door immediately. "I'm working for Sir Walter, and I must speak to him urgently," I said. "If anyone comes looking for me, please say that I'm not here."
"Sir Walter is in a meeting, sir. Please wait here," said the butler, taking me to a chair at the far end of the hallway.
I sat down to wait for Sir Walter and the butler went to answer another ring of the doorbell. I heard the policeman who had been following me ask if I was there. The butler told the policeman that the house belonged to Sir Walter Bullivant, that Sir Walter was not to be disturbed, and that he'd better go. The policeman had no choice, and left. I hadn't been waiting there long when the doorbell rang once again, and the butler opened the door. It was the First Lord of the Navy. His face was well known from the newspapers, and I recognised him immediately. The butler led the First Lord past me to a room at the back of the hallway. As the door opened, I could hear the sound of voices. Then the door closed. I sat there, continually checking my watch and thinking about what to do. 20 minutes later, at 10:30, the First Lord came out of the meeting room and walked past me. As he passed, he looked in my direction, and for a second we looked each other in the face. It was only for a second, but I saw in his eyes that he recognized me. I knew that I was not mistaken. He continued down the hallway, went out to his car, and was driven away. The recognition in his eyes surprised me, because I had never met the First Lord before, and he had never met me. Something was wrong. Perhaps the man was an impostor. I took the telephone book from the table beside me and found the number for the First Lord's home. I phoned, and when his butler answered, he told me that the First Lord was not feeling well and that he was in bed. I ran to the door of the meeting room and entered without knocking. Sir Walter looked at me in surprise.
"This is Mr. Hannay," he said to the other men. "I'm afraid that you have come at a bad time, Mr. Hannay."
"I think that I have come a little too late. Who was the man who just left the meeting?" I asked.
"That was the First Lord of the Navy," said Sir Walter. "His secretary phoned before the meeting and said that the First Lord was feeling much better and would come to the meeting after dinner as planned."
"No, it was someone who looked like him," I said. "I have just spoken to the First Lord's butler, and the First Lord is in bed ill."
"Then, who was that man?" someone asked.
"The man you thought was the First Lord was one of the spies from the Black Stone, an expert in disguise," I answered, looking at 5 very scared faces.
"You have been tricked, gentlemen, and the enemy now has the plan for our naval defences."